Welcome to Farming for Nature with me, Bridget Barry, where farmers across Ireland who have found a way to work with nature while saving money tell us how they have done it. By focusing on building up the fungi on his farm, Thomas O'Connor, a horticultural farmer from County Kerry, has seen his soil fertility increase and thrive beyond anything he imagined. Hi, Thomas. Thanks for joining us today. You farm in County Kerry. Can you tell us about your farm and your farming system?
Yeah, thank you very much. It's great to be with you. We're big fans of Farming for Nature and have been good for a good few years. Our farm is on the Dingle Peninsula in Glownagelt in Camp, which is the Valley of the Mad. I don't know if I'm mad or not, but sure, that's where we ended up. The farm is 25 acres. We've 13 acres of that planted under native Irish woodland. We have 4 acres that we grow veg and salad and stuff for our shop man organic store in Tralee. We have a 4.5 acre permaculture field, which is divided into 8 sections, and it has apple trees and fruit bushes and nut trees and stuff like that. And then we have another 4 acres that's, we call it our agroforestry field, but it's coppice and short-term rotation and stuff like that with terraces in between. So we have a good mix of biodiversity. If you were to look at our farm now, from the road, you'd think it was just all trees. You wouldn't see what was going on underneath, whereas we started with just ryegrass fields about 15 years ago.
Oh, brilliant. So you've made a massive change to the landscape.
It has been amazing over the years to see how you can transform a landscape in such a short period of time. The first 4 or 5 years, you're looking at twigs. But once they start growing out of the ground, then it becomes like multidimensional.
You have a really deep interest in fungi, and we're here to talk about that today and how it impacts the soil's fertility. But before we get stuck in, can you just explain for the listener what fungi is and what it looks like in your context? I mean, we all know about the field mushroom, but what are we talking about here today?
Yeah, so like we know mushrooms generally, we consider fungi mushrooms, but there's only a small percentage of fungi that produce mushrooms, and mushroom is the visible fruiting body that we see. So usually when you have a fungi, you have a mycelial network that grows around and under the ground, and then at particular times of the year, they decide to fruit and they throw up a mushroom. But mushrooms also include things like yeasts and algae and stuff like that. So it's a very wide spectrum of organisms. Like mushrooms themselves, they're around an awful lot longer than human beings are. I think their history started nearly 500 million years ago when the first plants started coming out, of the first life started coming out of the oceans. And then about 350 million years ago, they started creating symbiotic relationships with the plants. And because of that, then both plants and fungi have thrived. One of the things throughout our evolutionary process is that any species that has ever paired with fungi has done very well and survived some disasters like extinction level events and even in basic survival. So mushrooms are extremely important because they help us cycling in nutrients and they help us turn around and create soil structure, and the role is unbelievable. I fell in love with mushrooms, I'd say, about 15 years ago. I started reading a fellow called Paul Stamets, and he did a series of books. One of them was Mycelium Running, How Mushrooms Can Save the World, and that was focusing on bioremediation. And after that, then I became a little bit mushroom obsessed.
On a very simple level, where do you start including mushrooms into your farming system?
First of all, you create the environment that's suitable to them. That's a high carbon environment. So in and your hedgerows and woodlands and stuff like that would have an awful lot of fungal activity. I started is that I spent the first, I'd say 4 years, and it's horticulture in our horticultural field, and I was using a rotavator and rotavating the ground for the first couple of years, and I realized I was destroying the structure and that the quality of the crops was dropping. So I got rid of my rotavator and my tractor, and I got a two-wheel tractor and made 1 meter beds and 1 meter pathways, and then I filled those 1 meter pathways with wood chips, and I inoculated them with a mushroom called a garden giant. And a garden giant, I think it's a saprophytic mushroom. It's a primary digester. So what it does is it breaks down the wood chips and makes soil out of them. Now, that particular mushroom is exceptionally good because it doesn't mind being exposed to light. It doesn't mind being disturbed. And it works very well with an interaction with diversity biology. Whereas an awful lot of the mushrooms, to get them established, you need to sterilize your medium and do stuff like that. So that's kind of where my journey started. Once I got the garden giants established, Previous to that, I saw very little mushrooms around the farm and where I was growing. But now, even though the garden giant mushrooms aren't there as much anymore, I could have 14 or 15 different types of mushrooms that are popping up out of the ground. And the way I see them is they're primary digesters. Then we started using them in our composting system. So I take about a foot deep of a sheet mulch of wood chips, I'd inoculate that with the garden giant and let that start digesting it. And then after a couple of months, I'd mix that in with seaweed and make windrows. So it was part of our composting system.
How does having these mushrooms on your farm impact the way you farm?
Hugely, because you have to take a longer perspective of the way things are, and you need to understand how you're integrating with the soil. So for instance, if you're plowing and cultivating all the time, you're breaking up all these mycorrhizal strands and networks that are running in under the soil. But then even if you are plowing and cultivating, by having wider hedgerows and leaving spaces where the mushrooms and the mycelium can run, then you have a better chance. One of the reasons I liked about the idea of the mushrooms is I know they're primary digesters. One of the issues we have in our agriculture at the moment is we've broken the ability for nature to recycle minerals and nutrients, and that's what mycelium does and mushrooms do. They break down bedrock. That's why they had those symbiotic relationships with the early plants, is because they were able to break down the minerals and rocks and feed them to the plants. Then the plants turned around and started feeding the sugars back to the mycelium and to the mushrooms. And then so when you have mushrooms, you have the saprophytic, like the garden giant I was talking about, that break down dead wood matter. But then you have mycorrhizal mushrooms. And about 350 million years ago, the plants and the mushrooms became best friends. And they essentially, the mycorrhizal mushrooms grow in, around, and into the roots of the plant. So it's not just that they're outside the root, but they're actually inside and growing in with the plant. And they have that deep of a relationship. Also, if you have a plant, and if you have a good mycorrhizal and a fungal network around it, you can extend 100 to 1,000 fold the potential for that plant to take nutrients from its environment. Because the mycelium will go out into the wider environment and it'll dissolve minerals and rocks and it'll draw them back into the plants where it's required.
And sorry, just because I don't actually know a huge amount about this area, when you're harvesting, say, your carrots, are you destroying the network? How do you maintain it, that it expands each year as opposed to gets hindered by the harvest?
So a lot of those crops, like the root crops, they can be quite detrimental to the soil structure and to the fungal networks. But then if we turn around, and the way I did it is, like, I, even though I was cultivating my beds, I was leaving the pathways uncultivated. So I was leaving a space in bands across my field that allowed the mycelium to continue to grow. And that way then it was able to expand back into the beds, but then also shallower cultivation around it.
Interesting. So it impacts the way you farm in general on your farm, because you're always looking out for these fungi.
Yeah, you're looking out for the mushrooms that are on the top. But if we create the environment, they will literally come, because there's spores all around us of all different types of these fungi and yeasts and molds. And they play a huge role in digestion and feeding nutrients back and forth from the plant. So even if we have disturbed the fungi in the soil, we can turn around and by creating the space, we can help them back into the environment again. So yes, if you were doing carrots and you were doing potatoes and stuff like that, instead of doing a 10-acre field, you'd be doing it in like strip cultivation as opposed to massive scale. So like if you were a larger farmer, you'd be turning around and looking at your hedgerows and stuff like that. So you'd be making sure you've good wide hedgerows where all those spores and mycelium can work and live. And then, like, you cultivate your field. If it's in a garden, you can use permaculture principles and polyculture. So you're multi-cropping within the one space.
So basically, don't get the fear if you see this fungi coming up. It's a good thing.
No, you don't. And the thing is, there's a thing called mycophobia. That's a fear of mushrooms. And the thing, so like a lot of people fear mushroom because when they hear a mushroom, it's a disease that they normally hear about. But that's because we've disrupted the ecosystem. So for every one bad mushroom or fungi that's there, there's probably 1,000 or 10,000 that are beneficial. So if we have a balanced ecosystem, well, then the good guys take care of the bad guys. The bad guys aren't gone, but they don't have the detrimental impact that they could have.
Now I ask Thomas, do you think the fungi has helped the overall economics of your farm?
Without a doubt, because it has helped me close the loop and cycle the nutrients that are on the farm. Because I grow a lot of biomass and willow. One of the reasons we started growing a lot of trees and biomass was because we knew carbon was the center of pretty much everything that lives on this planet. So once we had carbon, we had a structure. But then what we needed is we needed to be able to break that carbon down and let life use it. And that's what the fungi and the mushrooms do. So I can grow raw materials on my farm, and then I can use the biology to digest it to help feed the plants. And that's where I started, was thinking all I was doing was breaking it down. But now I realize the interrelationship between the fungi and the biology and the living plants that are in the ground is way deeper than we can possibly imagine. Like mushrooms are fungi. They're kind of, you've heard of the World Wide Web. So there's a fungi web that runs through the soil and communicates exactly the same. So that it not only carries minerals and nutrients, it also carries information. So say, for instance, you have a good fungal network established in your field, and you have a disease or something that comes into the corner of that field, or a pest. Because all the plant's roots are connected through this World Wide Web of fungi, they can turn around and communicate. So before the pest or disease has been able to move across the field, the fungi can transmit information to the other plants, and the plants are able to change their chemical structure, so they become more resilient to the disease that's attacking them. So like they're like conductors. And the fantastic thing about fungi, they kind of set up the environment for everything else to thrive, knowing that their future prodigy will do well in that environment. They don't always benefit directly from their actions. So they're very good. Yeah.
And I'm guessing for farmers that are using fungicides, it's detrimental to all good fungi as well as the bad.
It is. It's a fungicide because it kills all the fungi. Yeah, it does. And the thing is, it's tough because, say, if you start putting out N, P, and K, even the phosphorus inside in the N, P, and K, that phosphorus interferes with mycorrhizal relationships. And then if you're putting out fungicides, that also interferes with mycorrhizal relationships. So what you end up doing is killing all the beneficial fungi. And then there's a clear sterile environment, and all of a sudden a disease or a non-beneficial fungi come into the place and they become a disease. But what we must realize in a larger perspective, even these detrimental fungi, they're only clearing up an unhealthy environment. In a healthy environment, they never get out of control.
And so for a farmer listening today, how can they tell if they have healthy fungi on their land already?
Well, usually in the hedgerows and ditches, you turn around and you see mushrooms popping up. And then you can see them as well inside in the fields and the older swards, where you have a diversity mixture of plants, herbage and grasses inside in it. You generally won't see, I mean, even if you were to talk to like your parents or your grandparents, and they'd tell you about going out and collecting mushrooms. You know, when they were youngsters, they could go out and collect bags of mushrooms in any field that was there. And now they'd be very pushed to turn around and pick some basic field mushrooms and stuff like that.
So what would you say are the main things to consider if he or she wants to improve the fungi diversity on their land?
Well, first of all, do no harm. And that's, again, not using the fungicides and stuff if you can avoid them. If you can't, well, then you need to start looking to transition away from them. Because once you're interfering with the fungi, you must realize you're breaking your ability to cycle nutrients on your farm. Then that makes you ultimately dependent on continuously buying in inputs. So if you can turn around and stop some of the damaging effects, then you can turn around and let nature take its cycle again. And sometimes that can be overwhelming. So what you do is you take a field, or you take a section or a hare's corner, and you start seeing how implementing these actions or not implementing the current actions you're doing, the effect it can have. So like even as a conventional farmer, if you turn around and just let wider hedgerows, and you turn around and had more trees and areas in your section, in your area, then you can turn around and increase the fungal activity in that area that can eventually spread out into the wider environment. But cultivation isn't good, because again, it breaks up all the structure. And the problem when you start cultivating, you're breaking up the structure of the soil. So when you have bacteria turn around and dissolve minerals, but then they have little glues and they create micro aggregates. But what the fungi then do is they take all those micro aggregates like a massive three-dimensional web and hold the whole lot together. And then you get a very nice tilt in your soil. You know, the air and the water and everything moves through it, so you have a good healthy environment.
And can you add to your fungi diversity by buying in stuff, or would you not recommend that? Would you just let nature take its course?
So the problem is that we've caused so much damage to a point that it'd take a long time for nature to come back of its own accord, but we can take steps in order to improve it. So one of the things that's that's very beneficial is mycorrhizal fungi, and you can buy those in spores that you'd add to your plants. Now, the thing with mycorrhizal fungi is that once they're established, they'll continue growing in the environment. But what you need in the environment is you need living roots in the ground all the time. So your mycorrhizal fungi live directly on and around the roots. If there is no living plants in the ground throughout the winter, well, then you've broken that network. The likes of the saprophytic mushrooms, they're there under spores, and they, once there is a material for them to digest, they'll be living inside in that environment.
Right. And where would you go to get any more advice or information about these plants? Is there anywhere that's a good place to start?
I'd say check out Paul Stamacht's Fungi Perfecti. And check out his book, Mycelium Runny and How Mushrooms Can Feed the World. Like, Paul Stamacht is phenomenal. One of the reasons I bought the Garden Giant in the first place was because about 10, 12 years ago, he had Garden Giants growing for the benefit in his vegetable patch because they were breaking down the wood chips and making soil. And what he realized was that he had beehives and that the bees were flying over to the wood chips. They were pulling back the wood chips and they were chewing on the mycelium and drinking the juice that came out of the mycelial network. And he remembered that, wow. But he couldn't forget it. But he remembered it again years later when someone approached him about bees and colony dieback. So he did a whole lot of research because he's a phenomenal scientist. And what he realized is that bees evolved in woodlands, and they usually lived inside in tree trunks. And inside in tree trunks, there was mycelial networks. So they created the symbiotic relationship to the point that there is a compound in a bee's system that activates their immune system. But that compound only comes from mycelium. So if we reduce or get rid of the mycelium and the mushrooms in the environment, then the bee's immune system isn't working properly. And he has, it's a video, you can Google it, and it's Paul Stamacht, Saving the Bees. So he's essentially now taking the mycelium of three different types of mushrooms, and he calls it mycohoney, and it's a feed he gives the bees, and then that boosts their immune system, and it helps with like colony dieback and varroa and all these things, because there's a huge environmental pollutant pressure on the bees. But if their immune system isn't working because we no longer have the fungi in the environment, well, then that's an issue. So he's created this mycohoney, and that should be available, I'd say, soon enough for people to be using, where it's essentially the mycelium and the spores of mushrooms, and it boosts the immune system of the bees, and they're having huge success with it.
And finally, Thomas, is there any one lasting memory on your own farm that you knew this little plant was part of a bigger system for you, and, you know, and all that's comes to your farm and lives on your farm?
There's been quite a few, but there's one of the reasons I like mushrooms is because that interconnection of everything. Yeah, you know, I used to see the farm as an individuality of loads of different types of plants. But when I started understanding fungi and the mycelium networks and how it all works, I realized the whole system is connected. You know, that it's feeding information, it's feeding minerals and nutrients, it's creating the ecosystem. So yeah, fungi is a good focus to turn around and look at. But I mean, we see plants as individuals, but they're part of a living ecosystem. And not just the plants, we are ourselves part of that system. So it's good sometimes to go down a little rabbit hole and look at something and come back again. And for me, fungi did that. Like,
listen, Thomas, thanks so much for introducing us to the World Wide Web of a different sort. Thomas O'Connor, thanks for being my guest today.
No bothers. Thank you very much, Sloan.
If you like this podcast, please rate, review and share with your friends. If you would like to get in contact with me, Bridget Barry, then email info@farmingfornature.ie. This podcast series is supported by the National Parks and Wildlife Service and the Department of Agriculture, Food and the Marine. Until next time, goodbye.